At this rate, Steve Jobs' super-secret product unveiling of an Apple iPhone is going to be nothing but a formality come January. For Tuesday, November 21st, 2006, this is PodTech News. Newspapers get another hand as Yahoo says, "Me too." Also, those iPods with video capability are great for storing tons more music. Seems users are slow to adopt video. This is PodTech News. I'm Jason Lopez. Remember Omni magazine with its slick science and tech fantasy covers? That's where the iPhone has been in the minds of its fans. The rumors of an Apple phone have been flying for months. Lots of bloggers expected them last summer. But the rumor mill is once again in overdrive, only this time it seems there's something to it. PodTech's Michael Johnson takes the call.
With Apple's premier event, Macworld, just weeks away, anticipation has been building over just what's up Steve Jobs' sleeve. Talk of a widescreen iPod has taken second place to speculations about the Apple iPhone. There's been numerous reports that Apple has contracted with the Taiwanese firm Hon Hai Precision, otherwise known as Foxconn, for the manufacture of 12 million cell phone units. What's fueling such intense speculation? Well, if you go to iPhone.org, it takes you to Apple's homepage, and iPhone is a registered trademark of, you guessed it, Apple Computers. But it seems that Apple CEO Steve Jobs himself has been unusually chatty about the company's foray into the mobile phone business. Analysts are predicting that Apple could win a 1% market share of the mobile phone space in less than a year, and that's about $2 billion. The much-awaited iPhone is expected to be available in the first half of 2007. For PodTech News, I'm Michael Johnson.
Some evidence today that consumers aren't keeping up with the pace of innovation. We've seen this with 3G phones. Now it's the iPod, according to Nielsen Media Research. Users flocked to the stores to buy the video iPod when it came out about a year ago. New research shows that people are still using the devices almost exclusively for music or for audio files. Music and podcasts make up an impressive 99% of the content users check out on iTunes and the portable player. Video iPod users watch video only about 11% of the time. The research could indicate that users are not as eager to watch video on anything smaller than large TV sets. Or it could just indicate a lag as consumers get used to the idea of watching the world on the handy little screen that 13% of U.S. households already own. Yahoo announced a deal with 176 U.S. newspapers to let them use its technology to sell help-wanted advertising and offer a variety of local information services. PodTech's Matt Kelly explains.
The move is an attempt by Yahoo to expand into local markets, a key growth prospect as it battles Google for advertising dollars, which earlier this month said it would help customers buy advertisements in 50 U.S. newspapers. Yahoo's deal includes major dailies such as the San Francisco Chronicle, the Dallas Morning News, and the LA Daily News. For publishers, it's a bid to recoup lost audience and advertising revenue as more readers drop print editions of their papers in favor of news from the Internet. Under the agreement, advertisers who list help-wanted ads in the papers, which in recent years have lost ground to online recruiting sites, will now be able to also post them on Yahoo's Hot Jobs website. The papers will also use Yahoo's technology to sell ads on their websites and offer search functions, local listings, maps, and event calendars. Financial terms of the deal were not disclosed. For PodTech News, I'm Matt Kelly in Los Angeles.
And this side note, the Yahoo newspaper move comes on the heels of a widely publicized leak over the weekend. A Yahoo plan to cut its workforce and a tightening of its operations, all geared at getting more competitive with rival Google. Google's success in monetizing search outshines Yahoo's by a long shot. And one final note on the rivalry, although Google's solid lead in search held constant in October, there was some cause for celebration at Yahoo. The Nielsen Net Ratings search rankings showed Yahoo's search traffic growing faster than its rival. Yahoo holds about 24% of the search market to Google's almost 50%. Want to know who the richest people in the world are? Well, of course, you go to Forbes. Want to know who the richest fictional people in the world are? Michael Klinger has the stat of the day.
Forbes magazine produces a lot of empty speculation and sheer mindless gossip. The chief exception to this rule is the annual ranking of the wealthiest fictional people in the world. By looking at people who aren't really there, the survey holds a mirror up to our modern civilization, showing us all of our flaws in the harsh light of reality. And this year, reality is especially harsh. In the crosshairs, Santa Claus. You know, the jolly guy with the red suit and the white beard who flies around the earth at warp speed, delivering cheap electronics to spoiled kids every year on Christmas. The researchers at Forbes admit Santa should be at the top of the list of wealthy fictional folks. They place his net worth at a highly unlikely infinite. The problem? Santa can thank the legions of his young fans who insist that he's real for his banishment from the list. Because if you're real, say the good people at Forbes, you must exist. And that means you're not, strictly speaking, fictional. So off the list you go. The blow comes just as Democrats trumpet a return to science-based governing and faith-based initiatives everywhere prepare to take a back seat. Follow the fresh political wind to its logical conclusion, and this is what you get. Hello, Daddy Warbucks. He's sitting pretty at number one because he sells defense services to the U.S. military. And goodbye, Santa. For the rest of the results of Forbes Fictional 15, check out their website. With today's reality-based fictional stat, I'm Michael Klinger.
Now, here's a more pertinent fact to chew on. The Pew Internet and American Life Project added again. This week's study looked at consumption of science news on the Internet. Catherine Girardeau reports.
Based on a survey of about 1,500 Internet users, the study found that 20% of Americans get most of their science information from the Internet, compared to 41% who get science news from TV. But the Internet has a narrow edge over TV as the number one science news source for users with high-speed Internet connections at home. For that group, 34% go to the Internet for science news, while 33% get theirs from TV. When it comes to science, users don't believe everything they read online, the study says. A whopping 80% of Internet science news consumers try to check its accuracy, using another online source, an offline source, the original scientific study, or some combination of the three. The Pew research didn't look at whether consumers of general news online are as concerned with accuracy. But there's always next month. In Menlo Park, I'm Catherine Girardeau, PodTech News.
Well, it's no secret that the Internet has given law enforcement much more to work with when it comes to tracing financial transactions, communication, and just about everything else. While civil libertarians fret over the possibilities, one Arkansas fugitive fell victim to a more innocent use of Internet data gathering. The man, who is a suspect in nothing less than a double homicide, was found after he posted his own name, photo, and address online at a dating site. Now, he may have gotten away with some innocent online dating, too. Well, maybe not so innocent, if only the TV show America's Most Wanted hadn't also broadcast his image. That's all for PodTech News, produced by Catherine Girardeau, Michael Johnson, Matt Kelly, and Michael Klinger. I'm Jason Lopez.